This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it's coming up on 12 minutes after 6 on this Monday morning with part 1 of the Morning Ag Show. We join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from last Friday's close. May corn was up 1 cent to 363. July corn was up a quarter to 370 and three quarters. And September corn stayed steady at 377 and three quarters. May soybeans were down 1 cent to 829 and a half. July beans were down one as well to 842 and a quarter. And August beans were down three quarters to 848 and three quarters. May wheat was down 5 1/4 to 428. July wheat was down 6 to 438. And September wheat was down 5 to 446 and 3 quarters. May soybean meal was up $1.20 to $293.60 per ton. July bean meal was up $1.30 to $298.20. And August bean meal was up $1.10 to $299.40. Soybean oil for May was down 16 cents to 27.07. July bean oil was down 15 cents to 27.35. And August bean oil was down 14 cents to 27.49. And turning to energy futures, crude oil for June was up 8 cents to 61.89 per barrel. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Friday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Friday's Board of Grain Price and Trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mixed on Friday afternoon. Central Illinois corn gained 10 cents since Monday's close, and soybeans lost 14 cents for the week. In northern western Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up a penny at 321 to 354. Soybeans bids are down 1 to 2 cents at 748 to 797. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to a penny higher at 333 to 355. Soybean bids were steady at 771 to 802. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up a penny at 336 to 367. Soybean bids were steady to down a penny at 777 to 819. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were mixed at 807 to 820. Basis was steadied up 3 at 3500 to 2200 in July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 277.20 to 298.20 a ton, up $1.30 a ton, with basis unchanged at 2100 to option to July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were steady at 351 to 371, with basis steady at 2000 to option to July. Illinois River barge line elevators quoted a producer corn bids 1 to 4 cents lower at 360 to 364, with basis down 1 to 4 at 1100 to 700 to July. Soybeans ended up steady to up a penny at 806 to 814, with basis up 1 to 2 at 3600 to 2800 to July. New crop wheat prices are down 6 cents at 408 to 430, with basis unchanged at 3000 to 800 to July. East St. Louis barge loading elevators placed their producer corn bids mixed at 383 to 385. Their soybean prices were steadied up a penny at 834 to 837. Soft wheat closed down 6 cents at 459 to 468. Milo ended the day steadied up a penny at 375 to 376. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 329 to 358. Soybeans at 780 to 810. And in the central part of the state, corn for October delivery at 344 to 362, soybeans at 799 to 820. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 324 to 363, soybeans at 786 to 817. In June, July wheat at 415 to 443. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, June live cattle were down 25 cents to 113.42. August live cattle were down $1.02 to 109.15, and October live cattle were down $1 to 109.67. May feeder cattle were down $1.82 to 137.15. August feeders were down $1.52 to 146.37, and September feeders were down $1.35 to 147.15. And on to lean hogs for May, they were down 75 cents to 85.35. June lean hogs remained steady at 92.75, and July lean hogs were up 15 cents to 95.67. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture once more this morning for last Friday's cash livestock reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday afternoon livestock report. Starting the national daily direct hog report, calculations to 200-pound pork carcass traded 6 cents lower. In a range of 72 to 83.75 with a weighted average carcass price of 78.94. From the Illinois direct sow ports, slaughter sow price were steady with very good demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 55 to 65, 4 to 5 weight at 58 to 68, 5 to 6 weight at 61 to 72, and over 600 pounds, $63 to $75. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were $1 to $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $51 to $57. Receipts are Illinois barrels and gilts of total $20,270. In the direct cattle trade, in the national daily direct slaughter cattle port, choice steers on a live basis trade at $122 to $124, and on a dress basis at $196 to $198. Choice heifers on live basis trade at $122.50 to $123 and on address basis at $196. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 257 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $82.01, which is $1.91 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses are $227.36. Which was $1.44 lower, while select carcasses were $213.29, which is $1.79 lower. The estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 121,000 compared to 114,000 last week and 119,000 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 460,000 compared to 451,000 last week and 437,000 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by CHS, farmer owned with global connections, and by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 19 locations to serve you. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. And for this Monday morning edition of the Ag Show, we have some local interviews. First off this morning, we have Patricia Fuchs, who is the resource conservationist with the Soil and Water Conservation District here in Montgomery County. I had the chance last week to sit down with her to talk about her first few months on the job, and we also talked about the many programs available through the SWCD. But first off, she tells us about her background.
Thanks for having me. So, like he said, my name's Patricia Fuchs, and I just started with the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District as the resource conservationist back at the end of January. And my background is I grew up here right outside of Hillsboro on a grain farm, and I actually grew up with the farrow to finish hog operation with my family. And a lot of the summers growing up, I actually spent a lot of time in the trenches, so to speak, tiling and terracing and doing quite a bit of surveying here out on some of our land. I have two sisters and a brother, along with some of my immediate family. We all participate in the family farm. And after high school here, I went to Illinois State University and graduated with a bachelor's degree in agronomy management. And I was also very fortunate to join the Sigma Alpha Professional Agriculture Sorority, where I held multiple offices and met a lot of amazing women in agriculture around the state. And I also was a teaching assistant for the agriculture department for the Intro to Agriculture course. And I also was fortunate enough to work in the ag department office at school. And I met a lot of people for my education there. And one of the things I'm very lucky to have went through at school, through my agronomy management major, I took quite a few soils and agronomy courses, and then also it was well-rounded with some agribusiness courses. So I'm very lucky to have accepted this position here in the county locally, and I'm very happy to come back to the farm after school, and then I can be very close here in town and work with our local landowners as well.
Coming back home, you said you're really glad to be back home to be serving the local producers, the local farmers, the county you grew up in. So I'm sure that probably has a close place in your heart now that you're back home.
Absolutely. Growing up on a farm, you know, we have ground around the county, and it's really it's nice to know that background of our soils and what we have to work with here, and know those producers and landowners as well, so we can help as much as we can.
And then through your education, having a pretty well-rounded education, that also helps as well, probably, in your line of work.
Absolutely. I've had many courses, and then I also got to put together, you know, from doing so many activities there on the farm and using my education to put things together and learn some of those important aspects of what we need and our soils and everything like that. So I know we've had a lot of issues here this spring with erosion, and we've got some programs here that we'd like to offer as well.
I know you had a program that you were able to go out with the elementary school here back a couple of weeks ago, so tell us a bit more about that.
Sure. It's been almost a walk down memory lane, but then again, it's amazing to learn so many things as well. So since I've started, we've had quite a few field visits, and I've got to do some surveying and walking of fields to learn more about our programs. And then also, as Gabe said, here on April 26th, we had Arbor Day, and we got to go visit some of the third graders in the county and tell them about the importance of Arbor Day and how they keep our soil in place as well. And then we also had ACES Day a couple days ago, put on by the Extension Office, and we got to educate third, fourth, and fifth graders in the community about soil health and our soil conservation and the importance of saving our natural resources.
And I bet those are great programs that are going on here in the county, because that age, those kids are pretty impressionable to learn and will take that information probably back to their parents, and I'm sure that'd be great. Moving on with the soil and water and the NRCS, there's quite a few programs and even quite a few acronyms of programs out there for folks to kind of have to digest almost. So kind of maybe go over some of those deadlines and programs that are going on this spring and summer and a few things like that.
Sure, absolutely. I know at the Soil and Water Conservation District and the NRCS with our partnership there, we there's a lot of different acronyms and things to learn, which I'm still learning, but I think it's important to get those programs out there and have some outreach to some of our landowners and operators here to see what's available, especially with the spring we've had and all the water erosion here. So one program I'd like to promote and talk about is the Conservation Practice Program, or CPP, that the Soil and Water Conservation District promotes, and that would be the State Cost Share Program. And some of the practices included in CPP include our grass waterways, our field borders, the filter strips, and those water and sediment control basins. So some of those issues, if you'd like to apply for state cost share, our county pays up to 50% of that. If you're interested or have any issues there in the field, come in and see us and apply. And that application deadline we have set for June 14th this summer. So I know we've had a delayed spring here, and a lot of operators we found out have come in and finding a lot of erosion they haven't seen in a long time. So if you need help with some payments there, some cost share, just come in and see us on CPP.
And you said that with a lot of this erosion going on like that, and that these programs are completely they're completely voluntary, and if you need help, you can come in and get that help, correct?
Well, yes. We'd like you to come in. It is a voluntary program in the aspect that it's not regulatory, so we'd like you to come in and fill out that application process here, and we can go from there. But the thing is, we'd like to sign up for these programs before it is regulatory for some of our runoff and things like that for our erosion purposes. So it is important we try to promote it so we can sign up and fix some of these issues out in the field before it becomes an even larger issue.
And a lot of these issues we were also talking about, that the programs through NRCS and the Soil and Water, as you said, they're voluntary, not regulated. Maybe kind of explain, if you could, some of those differences between maybe federal regulated and maybe some state and county.
So, yes, so some of the NRCS programs we also kind of promote with our partnership here. So NRCS has a CSP and an EQIP program. some cost share programs. So CSP is Conservation Stewardship Program. And then we also have EQIP, which is an Environmental Quality Incentives Program. And your EQIP is very similar to CPP with the SWCD. And that also helps with some of those natural resource concerns and issues with erosion and some of those conservation practices, as we've stated before, with those waterways and basins and stabilization structures and things like that and cover crops. But that is a more federal program, and that has a series of different steps to go through. And that one offers up to 70% cost share. So that's a little bit of the difference. And the CSP, the Conservation Stewardship Program, is kind of a program where maybe if there's an operator that already includes some conservation practices or cover crops or things like that, they can be rewarded for some of those practices.
So if anybody out there is interested in any of these programs or would like to learn more, like we said, a lot to digest on some things, how could they do so?
If you have any questions about some of these programs, just come in and see us. We're right there south of Roger Jennings in Hillsboro, and our phone number is 217-532-3361. Or come in and see us and speak with us, and we can get an appointment set up, because we do have kind of a difference in our office right now. I know maybe a lot of our listeners in the area were used to C.J. Liddell or Dave Hobson a few years ago, and C.J. just retired, so our office is kind of not empty, but Melissa Cobble and I are in the office from day to day. And then also we have had some help from Christian County and Macoupin County. And Christian County, we have Tony Hammond. And Macoupin County, we've had help from Christine Goldstein, Brad Burnett, and Wilson Yingling with some of our surveying and different conservation practices and programs. And then we also have Aaron Engstrom, is from Macoupin County, and he is our district conservationist. So he is in there a few days a week, and we usually would like to have set up an appointment so we can be sure that we can get you set up with somebody to speak with that day. So our phone number is 217-532-3361.
And again, that was Patricia Fuchs, resource conservationist with the Soil and Water Conservation District here in Montgomery County. I also had the opportunity to interview Maria Brokamp, who is a senior at Morrisonville High School. Maria job shadowed Patricia for a month, and last Friday was her last day at the Soil and Water Conservation District. We caught up with her about her thoughts of the internship, as well as what she has been doing agriculturally through high school.
Well, thanks for having me today, Gabe. I've really learned a lot about all of the different programs that NRCS and the Soil and Water Conservation District offer, and just how necessary and applicable they are to our area because of our soil and our rather rainy climate this year. And so I found how important it is to utilize those programs, and I've also learned a little bit on the governmental affairs side and how our farmers interact every day with the USDA and our local government.
You had that opportunity to be there for a month, as we said. Were there anything besides learning the basic and ins and outs of the process, were there any, like, maybe specific things that you've enjoyed doing?
One of my record book projects in FFA has been ag education, and so I was able to help Patricia with both the Arbor Day presentations and the ACES Day presentations for the Extension Day, and really educating the next generation about all of the different topics in the agriculture, food, and natural resource system is one of my passions, and so it was something I was glad to offer my expertise and then learn more from Patricia as well.
And is this something you might take with you when you move on to school here in the fall?
I will definitely take a lot of aspects of this job to Champaign in the fall. I'm planning on attending U of I to major in agricultural and consumer economics with a concentration in public policy and law. My ultimate goal is to be a lobbyist in Washington, D.C., for an agricultural group or corporation, but ultimately my goal is to advocate for rural America and the American farmer. So this was a great way to get more experience locally doing that.
And being able to do this as a senior at the end of the school year, a lot of people be like, well, shouldn't she be in school? So is this something kind of unique to Morrisonville that you were able to do and have this opportunity?
Yes, we have had our senior project program at Morrisonville High School for several years now, and it's just an opportunity for the seniors to take their finals early and then get out and actually job shadow and get experience in their intended line of work, because the best way to learn is going to be that hands-on experience. And a lot of kids aren't going into college and post-secondary education with that experience, so it really gives our students at Morrisonville an advantage.
And also being there at Morrisonville, you've had a big career in the FFA also, so kind of maybe go into your experiences there with FFA.
Absolutely. So I've been a member of the Morrisonville chapter ever since my freshman year, and I served as chapter reporter my sophomore year. I was both the youngest and only female officer that year, so that was quite the learning experience. And then I transitioned into the chapter president my junior year, and that was really a big stair step for me, because for my senior year, I ran for Section 19 reporter, and I was able and fortunate enough to have that office. And so this past year, I've been traveling all around the central and southern Illinois areas, representing our section and representing FFA.
And through that experience, too, I bet you've met a lot of people, just not throughout the section, but throughout the state as well.
Absolutely. That has been one of my favorite parts, because when you're traveling for all these different events, you get to meet the other section officers, and they were bold enough to run for section office in their section, and so most of the time you will share that immense passion for FFA, and so it's cool to hear their stories and learn more about them.
Maria then talked about the banquet for Section 19 that was held in Vandalia last Thursday evening.
The banquet, I don't think we could have asked for a better section banquet. We had over 120 people present, which is more than anybody could ever remember. So we were very fortunate for that, and we were able to honor our state degree recipients and our contest winners throughout the year, as well as our proficiency award record book winners. And we were also able to hold officer elections and elect a new section officer team, and so that was a great experience as well.
A few of those offices, of course, the Section 19, that would be Morrisonville, Hillsboro, a lot of the local schools, Greenville, Vandalia, over to Shelbyville and Pena. Were there a lot of applicants this year for section office for this next officer team?
Yes, we had 9 applicants for 6 positions, and so it was awesome to see kids work towards that goal. And for the kids that didn't get an office, there's always more in store, because being an officer in the FFA isn't the only part. There's so much more to being in the FFA.
And who are those new officers for the section?
Yep, so our new section president is Chase Timmon of Pena High School. Our new section vice president is Levi Siebert of Greenville High School. The new section reporter is Aaron Kistner of Hillsboro High School. Our new section secretary is Allie Willenberg of Vandalia High School. Our new section treasurer is Malia Hennings of Shelbyville High School. And finally, our new section sentinel is Mackenzie Harmon of Morrisonville High School.
And again, that was Maria Brokamp, former Section 19 reporter and senior at Morrisonville High School. For this Monday morning, May 6th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.